Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got the Choice Is Yours coming up later this hour as well. Adam Vingan dropping by at 9:30 for the latest on the Nashville Predators. Preds have some players that will be addressing the media today for the first time since their loss against Carolina last week. So looking forward to that coming up, I believe. Around 11:45 noon today is when that will start with press conferences. We'll see whether or not Pecorine is a part of that as well. So lots to look forward to today on that front. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Tony Vitello, Tennessee baseball coach, for joining us in the last segment.
Pretty great.
Joe, I think I could listen to that guy talk all day. He's fired up about some baseball. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's good, man. He's very good. And, you know, you can see even in a short interview like that, like how he could be effective, you know, on a lot of fronts in that role. So, I mean, he's got those kids believing, and it's been really a quick rise. Like 2 years ago, it was the second year, and they get to the NCAA tournament first time in 14 years.
Yeah.
And then last year, they were off to a great start, and everything gets canceled, but this is one of those interesting teams, not as loaded as maybe some of his future teams may be if he stays and keeps recruiting the way they're recruiting, but it's veteran, older kids, and there's something to be said for that, to have that kind of experience and just a little bit of age on your team and some real clutch genes in there too.
Absolutely. And Tennessee getting kicked off on Friday against Wright State coming up, which, by the way, Vitello's saying there, by the way, Wright State's not a four seed in this tournament. I was not afraid to say that either. It's a heck of a draw for Tennessee in this regional coming up in Knoxville.
Yeah, I mean, Wright State's 35-11, really good team. People did. I mean, they were projected, I think, by everybody as a three. And, I mean, Duke, like, their pitching has been out of this world to get them to win the ACC. Like, they've got a bunch of pitchers with ridiculous numbers. So, I mean, It's a good, strong regional. It's going to be a really interesting weekend.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texting in, talking about the Titans. Let's be honest, guys. We've got maybe 2 or 3 years left with Tannehill and Henry, so make the moves now and make a run, period. We've talked about Julio Jones a lot this week, and we'll see what happens. As we said last hour, a move for Julio Jones could come, I guess, any second at this point. It could also not come at all as we move forward here with this discussion. If you're John Robinson and the Titans, really any general manager in the NFL, and you're identifying what your window is for a time to compete for the Super Bowl, what do you think the challenge is for that at the NFL level? We talk about it all the time in the NHL and the NBA about the window to win a championship. What do you think a true window is in the NFL? And do you think the Titans are in the middle of it? Are they getting towards the end of it? How do you go about identifying what a window to win is in the National Football League is? I mean, when there's just so much parity, so much turnover every single year in the league.
Well, in New England had the longest window we'll ever see.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they redefined it. And it was coach, quarterback. And you go from the start of that run to the end of it, and those are the two things that were still in place. You know, other than that, all different. So it's also GM. It's also smart player moves to keep it going and to build for the future. And you know you're going to cycle down, and you can go through that whole dynasty. And there were down cycles in there. There were down seasons in there, teams that weren't as good, that weren't really contenders, but they were never too far from it. And that's just not realistic. So, I mean, to me, you just have to look at who are your great players, what is your team built around, and usually it has to do with quarterback. So for the Titans, you could make the case, hey, why sell out now? Tannehill, relative to the growing QB age of excellence in this league, could still have a lot of years left. You could still have him for another deal. Derrick Henry, maybe he's going to be just, you know, Frank Gore, and he's just going to keep crushing people for years and years to come. You could make that case, but, I mean, to me, it's you look at those two guys, and that's your window. I think that's how you have to look at it right now. Like, you have a chance with those two guys to reach high, to reach as high as you can reach if you have the right things around them. So why not do everything to put those things around them? At some point, you're going to need to replace Tannehill. So do you think you're going to get lucky again and trade a fourth-round pick for a fading veteran on some other club who becomes a top-notch, top-10 quarterback for your team? Or do you think you're going to have to go back into the draft and try to find that guy? Probably the latter.
Well, and the question is, when's that going to happen? Because, to your point, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is 32 years old. He'll be 33 next month. So you're talking about a 33-year-old quarterback heading into this next year. I mean, right now, I look at his contract, I look at his age, and based on the way he's played in this offense so far, which, admittedly, I'm interested to see what that looks like this year, because there is going to be, I think, a little bit of a difference. There's no Arthur Smith, Todd Downing coming in, so it's not exactly the same, and there have been some personnel decisions that have been made where the offense is going to look different. But if Tannehill looks anything like he's looked the past couple of years, like, there's no reason for me to believe that he can't keep doing this for the next 3 or 4 years at least. I mean, you brought it up, and look, Brady is an extreme example. I mean, he's 43 years old, so I'm not sitting here banking on Ryan Tannehill playing until he's 40 or playing until he's 43. But look around the league right now. I mean, Drew Brees just retired, over 40. Aaron Rodgers just won the MVP at 38. I mean, Tom Brady is 43, just won the Super Bowl. I mean, you're talking about all-time great players there, and Ryan Tannehill isn't that. But I do think with the way the game is now, how much they protect the quarterbacks, quite frankly, how good the Titans' offensive line has been at protecting him the last couple of years, like, to me, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Tannehill could still be the starting quarterback on this team 4 or 5 years from now.
So now you get into the question of, because there's a lot of people who say, great, and he's way better because Derrick Henry's behind him. So right. The window is Derrick Henry. And I'm kind of in between on that. I think Tannehill on his own is pretty good. I think he's demonstrated a lot. He's had to carry this team at times. He didn't have to carry him in the playoff games last year after the 2019. But he's had some massive performances that they needed him to have to win games. But certainly, he benefits from having Derrick Henry behind him. I don't think anybody could argue otherwise. So I think a lot of people just look at this window like, what's the Derrick Henry window? They both have 3 years left in their deal. Derrick Henry is not showing any signs of slowing down. But the shelf life of a running back, historically and typically in this league, would suggest that by the end of that deal, if you still have one of the top backs in the league, you have now well outperformed running back expectations.
Yeah.
So to me, the window is, I would say, like, I look at it like the next 2 seasons. Realistically, like, when you should feel good about Derrick Henry being Derrick Henry, you also know you have A.J. Brown. I mean, you have
And right now you've got A.J. Brown on a rookie deal, too.
So for the next 2 years, you have, you know, you can pick up that. Well, no, I'm sorry. He's a second-round pick, so you're probably going to renegotiate. But next 2 years, he's on that deal. And you have Tannehill. And you still feel like Tannehill may outlast all this, and that may be fine, but you're still probably going through a rebuild, right? I mean, look, maybe not completely, but so much now has been built around Derrick Henry. It's hard to imagine that they wouldn't take a step back when he takes a step back.
Well, I think they take a step back, but, like, I mean, the quarterback – He can keep you right there. I mean, he can keep you right there in contention. And with the way Tannehill has played, I know some people, they don't want to admit this and they don't believe this when you say it, but with the way Tannehill has played the last 2 years for this group, you start having discussions about Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, players like that. I don't believe he's as good as those guys, but the numbers tell you he's right there with those guys the last couple of years. Now, again, I still think there's a gap between the Mahomes and the Rodgers of the world and Ryan Tannehill. So I don't want people to think that it's just, oh, Ryan Tannehill is Aaron Rodgers, and that's what you do moving forward. But the numbers would tell you that he's put up here that there's not that much of a difference of what he's played like since he's been here. If he plays at that level, I don't know if a complete rebuild, even without Derrick Henry, is ever going to be necessary. I think you're going to give yourself a chance if your quarterback plays that well.
Okay, so then it sounds like you're more in favor of not doing some big move right now that could tighten you up on the cap later and kick the can and things like that.
Have at it. Do the big move now. Okay. You'll still have the quarterback later.
Okay.
Because I'm saying I don't think that this they're just automatically if Tannehill, you know, if Henry goes the next 2 years and, you know, by the time 2024 rolls around, he's not the same Derrick Henry. Yeah, that's going to hurt this team. I mean, they're not going to be the exact same. I don't think they're going to go from, you know, 12-5 to, you know, 4-13 either. I'm trying to do this math in my head to match up at 17 game schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's look, here's the thing. So, if you want another cautionary tale, I mean, just in this division, you know, we talked about the Jaguars, which again, I don't blame them. It's just they had the wrong guy at the most important position. It was the biggest problem. But look at the Texans. A stat was tweeted yesterday. The Houston Texans over the last 4 years have gone from the fourth youngest team in the league in 2017 to the 32nd youngest team.
Jeez.
They are now this old, awful roster, and they have traded picks left and right to go for it. You know, so that's how bad it can get. And, of course, there's a lot of things also that have happened that have just made it worse, of course.
Bill O'Brien.
Well, right. But, I mean, there's just bad GMing in general. Now you have the Watson thing. I mean, you have a lot of issues. But they're an example of a team that over a few years said, okay. And it's kind of like the feeling of Watson's on his rookie deal. What can we do? You got to do it now. You got Watt. He's getting older. You know, all this stuff. That didn't work out. I still would argue that it's worth trying rather than saying, you know what? I like winning the AFC South. I mean, that's something good. I mean, I can't knock teams that go for it even if they pay for it later. As a fan, I would prefer that to let's just always be safe and sound and be pretty good.
Oh, I agree 1,000%. Listen to the game every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's the game's 1K payday presented by Kentucky Kingdom and by Hurricane Bay. Listen for keywords at 9, noon, and at 3. And when you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com and enter the keyword for a shot at $1,000. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans. How long is their window to win? And how does that affect the way you feel about what they should give up for Julio Jones? We'll get to that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you, streaming live on YouTube, on Periscope, and on Twitch as well. Talking Titans, how long is this window open for the Titans, and how does that influence what you would do to get Julio Jones on this team? Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe got a texter that says, I just don't want to get Julio and then potentially not be able to re-sign A.J. Brown when his contract is up because you don't have any money. How much of a concern would that be if you're John Robinson of making sure you got enough money left over to give A.J. Brown his second deal? And do you think Julio Jones impacts that at all based on his contract status over the next couple of years?
Well, it wouldn't be A.J. Brown because you're going to find the money for A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Now, it could be someone else. It could be Taylor Lewan's replacement, or it could be, you know, another defensive lineman you need or another corner you need. It certainly can hurt down the road. Again, if you're doing this thing where if part of this is like restructuring like Tannehill's deal, which of course has been talked about a lot, then that does put a strain on your cap in future years. That's part of what it does when you restructure. It's not just, you know, you can't just throw it in the closet and lock the door. So it makes things tougher. But A.J. Brown, if he's continues to be this player, A.J. Brown will be re-signed by the Titans. I mean, that's, you know, they'll find the money for that. It's a matter of just your overall roster quality. Does it get nicked up by this later? And it may well be.
Chad on the text line says, I feel Tannehill has a major regression without Arthur. Henry has always been a two-down back that plays well when playing with a lead, and the Titans didn't do anything to replace what they lost on defense in the draft and in free agency. I have a feeling the Titans are in for a sharp decline, and we haven't realized it yet. We talked about the idea of regression yesterday with this Titans offense. I mean, I think it's certainly on the table that this offense could get worse from last year. I mean, that's pretty high bar last year to establish. So it's probably likely that the offense is at least a little bit worse this year. Now, maybe bringing in Julio Jones could change that. What do you think of what Chad threw out there of the Titans didn't do anything to replace what they lost on defense in the draft and in free agency?
Well, I think they did. I mean, Titans did a ton on defense. Now, I don't know if it'll work out, but I mean, they
were certainly active.
They did a ton. Yeah. They did a lot. They drafted a corner. They drafted another corner. They drafted an edge. They paid big money for an edge. They paid pretty good money for a good deal for a defensive end who I think is going to make a big difference. It's a lot of moves. They've basically swapped out half the D. Butler and Jackson and Vaccaro are gone, and some of those losses are tough. I think those are money losses more than performance losses. But the bottom line is the defense is way different. Can't say they didn't do stuff. We'll see if it works.
Ben on the text line says, once Henry is done, Tannehill's stats could very well suffer. A lot of his success relies on the play-action game and opposing defenses focusing so much on Derek. The window relies on Henry to keep it rolling.
Yeah, look, I don't doubt that Ryan Tannehill – I fully acknowledge Ryan Tannehill is helped by having Derek Henry. Any quarterback would be. And you're right, the play-action game is a huge part of this offense. It's effective. They do a great job. They have done a great job. You know, especially that outside zone stuff. I mean, it's tough. And you know, a split second for a linebacker or a safety can make all the difference. The windows are bigger. I'm going to go back again on the Tannehill discussion because I hear people say he was garbage in Miami and they got rid of him. Go back and tell me how many 4,000-yard passing seasons he had with no running game in Miami. You know, it was a different offense. They built largely around him. He had good receivers, not great receivers. He had good receivers. He had no running game. It's funny. The one year they did have when Jay Ajayi had that big year in 2016 was his best year too. So, yeah, they go hand in hand. Right. And then Tannehill gets hurt, and they have to start Matt Moore against the Steelers, and he didn't get a chance.
What a time that was.
Yeah, he didn't get a chance to play in the playoffs. But there's still a big misconception about what Tannehill did in Miami. He was not an elite quarterback. Dude, he had big-time numbers in many years. The guy can play. He could play all along. The questions were, can he get you over the hump? Can he stay healthy? Because he blew out the knee. He didn't want to have surgery at first, and he had the shoulder. Those were the fair questions about him. The Dolphins wanted a clean slate. But people look back on it still and say, garbage, barely a starter or whatever. Like, no, that's not true. I just think he's roundly underrated for what he does.
Well, look, there is going to be a narrative that comes with Ryan Tannehill until he gets it done in the playoffs in terms of having that big performance. I mean, we heard some of it after the run to the AFC title game, which I think both you and I found to be ludicrous. If you watch Tannehill play in those games, he was largely pretty good. I mean, did he miss some throws? Yeah, but he was largely pretty good in those games. I think the one game you point to where you wanted to see more was last year when Baltimore obviously was hell-bent on not letting Derrick Henry beat them, and that was their game plan. They stacked the box. You would have liked to have seen a better game from Tannehill, and he missed some throws last year in that game, made a bad decision going to Khalif Raymond, A.J. Brown streaking wide open down the left side of the field. I mean, it's fair to me to point out that Tannehill was not good in that playoff game, and he's got to be better. But that's going to be a narrative with him from some until he comes out in the playoffs and he puts this team on his back and wins some games in the playoffs for this team. There is going to be a narrative around him from some that he's not good enough to win with in the playoffs, and that's just going to be on him to change that as they get into this next season here.
Yeah, and that's fair. What I think is just dumb is not seeing all that he's done and some of the games and some of the plays he's made that have had a big impact on all the success the last couple of years. It's pretty good, It's pretty good, and when you compare it to, his deal versus other quarterbacks in this league, it's awfully good. But you're right. Next time they're in the playoffs, if they get to the playoffs with this group again, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him and a lot of expectation, which is fair, that he's going to play better than he did last time out.
Heidi from Dixon texting in saying, go get Julio if he's at least decent, but Shane cost us six games. Just trade him next year. So Heidi's saying if Julio comes in, he plays well, but Shane Bowen cost the Titans six games. Then you can trade Julio after that.
We found a way to bring Shane Bowen into this and blame him for something.
I was wondering when we'd get there.
Poor Shane. By the way, Shane Bowen will speak today, I believe, for the first time since he was named official DC. And also Todd, my gosh.
Downing?
My gosh. I take my microphone away.
Todd, don't call me Arthur Smith Downing.
Yeah, Skiatika. Todd Downing will also talk today for the first time, I believe. So be interesting to hear what they have to say.
Are you going to ask Todd Downing if he's terrified to take over for Arthur Smith and that the ghost of the Oakland Raiders, is it sticking with him? What you're going to ask him?
Maybe I will.
Okay.
Maybe I'll ask him how he would utilize Julio Jones in an offense.
Maybe so.
That probably wouldn't get an answer.
Todd, if there was a certain player who used to play in Atlanta –
Todd, would you
and
like,
Alabama.
Would you like to engage in some tampering right now, Todd? It's just Zoom, man.
See what we can get into. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. We got a lot of your texts to get to on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The NBA playoffs are here, and you'll be in hoops heaven betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level because new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you've got an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every single week. This means you can combine multiple bets for even bigger wins. The money line, the point spread, the first basket score, player points, rebounds, assists, everything is on the table. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with promo code ROB to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe got a texter that says, Tannehill has been one of the best quarterbacks we've had since McNair. If we would have had a better defense last year, I think we would have gone further into the playoffs.
One of the best?
I think he's the best by far.
I mean, easily, right?
I don't think it's close. I mean, I'm trying to think of who would be in the discussion with Tannehill.
Kerry Collins
outside of McNair
had a nice 2008 season, 13-3 team.
Yeah,
he was a good.
Vince was fun.
Bit of
at
a
times.
Game manager. Yeah, Vince had a rookie of the year. Mariota had a really good.
Jake Locker had a nice throw in a preseason
season.
Game.
Charlie Whitehurst had some great hair.
Yeah,
a little Mettenberg.
There was a little Met show and Whitehurst action. That was fun.
You know, what's his name?
Elijah, you kind of look like Charlie
Magic
Whitehurst.
Fitzmagic was...
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I'm shooting for. The clipboard Jesus.
Yeah,
line.
he's got the Whitehurst look back there, man. I like it.
Yeah,
I don't think it's close.
Yeah, it's
Tannehill is... Look, I mean, Tannehill gets a couple more years at this level. I mean, this is blasphemy to some, but start having a conversation about McNair, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... Every pass is not a play-action pass.
No. You know,
he's had a lot of third and longs where he's had to make a throw, and he's made a throw. He's had fourth downs where he's had to make a throw, and he made a throw, including two at Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. You know, he's had to do more than some might want to give him credit for. But I think some are never going to give him credit for that, so that's fine.
Do you think if they win a Super Bowl, he will? Like Chase said yesterday, if the Predators win a cup, people still hate David Poyle and John Hines. Do you think that if Tannehill wins the Super Bowl and he throws for 500 yards, they give some credit then?
Well, okay. If you throw for 500 yards, maybe. But if he throws for like 295, it's like, nah, Brady would have thrown for 350.
Maybe he would have. He is the greatest quarterback of all time.
No doubt. Hey, no one is trying to compare Tannehill's body of work to Brady's body of work or even or any of those great top-tier quarterbacks. No. He's a pretty strong second-tier guy.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our buddy Ron texting in, not for long. That's what the NFL stands for. There's no guarantees, which means players and windows are closing. It's hard enough just to make the playoffs. When you're this close, you got to do whatever it takes to go for it and pay the price later. This is why you gamble. Push all your chips in if you're the Titans.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is kind of the crux of it. And, you know, I thought Jared yesterday on his show brought up some good points about Floyd Reese and his time as GM and the go-for-it era they had. And, of course, they get to the Super Bowl. And then the go-for-it era from there was, you know, they're getting back, you know.
Right.
They did some restructuring of deals. They did what they could do to keep everyone around and pay everybody. And eventually then you just have to – you have a purge, which is what happened. And then eventually your GM gets fired, which is what happened. And so that was kind of Jared's argument against – this move, you know, like this is why do you want to go down that road? But see, I'm listening to that and saying, I understand that they didn't get back there. They didn't win it. They did have some great teams after that.
It was totally worth it.
You have to do that, right?
Yeah.
So do the alternative then. You just sort of say, you know what? Let's never have that big dip and let's just stay here in the middle somewhere where we're pretty good. But we're going to be a little bit – we're not going to have these go-for-it moves. We're not going to overextend ourselves, and we'll be fine, and we'll never have a big dip. I don't get it. I don't think that is not the point of – the point of this is to try to win a championship.
Well, and let's be honest here. Like, most times in pro sports, when you go for it, it doesn't work. Like, you don't win. Most of the time,
exactly.
You don't. But, I mean
– doesn't mean it wasn't worth trying.
Yeah. If I'm a fan and I'm sitting here – and look, maybe you're a fan and you just don't believe Julio Jones is the big difference maker. And then that's fine. I mean –
That's
a different discussion. And if you don't believe that Julio Jones is the difference between this team getting to a Super Bowl or not getting to a Super Bowl, that's fine. Like, you don't have to be, you know, an advocate for Julio Jones to come here. But if I'm a fan and I believe, whether it's Julio Jones or anyone else, that a player can take you over the top – and the Titans just sit back and say, nah, we're good. We'll just keep doing things how we're doing them. I mean, that would infuriate me at some point.
Well, like, they played the clip. So Floyd had the clip last year, and he said, like, the Clowney thing, but if you don't want to, you know, if you want Jonnu Smith next year,
yeah,
well, then you don't do this. I heard him. People heard him. And I'll go back to that moment without knowing what happens with Clowney, because obviously now everyone would say, don't do that.
Yeah.
But I'll go back to that moment. You just got to the AFC Championship game. Your huge weakness is pass rush. You gave $9.5 million to a real questionable acquisition. And Vic Beasley, and I think you absolutely do what they did. It didn't work. You know, they're not toast because of it. It hurts to not have John. It hurts to not have had that rollover cap money. But I think it was worth it in the moment, and I think right now it's worth it again. And I would hate to be the team that didn't try and that just sort of was happy being 10-7 or 11-6. In the future,
yeah,
you know, try to be better than that, and you're gonna cycle down. You're like, whether they go for it now or not, they're going to cycle down, and people are gonna probably lose their jobs, and there's gonna be a new quarterback, and you're gonna be high in the like. This league is built for that. It's you're not gonna avoid a cycle down unless you are
Brady.
The Patriots dynasty. Those, I mean, tell me how many. I mean, your Packers. They've had Rodgers for a long time. They've been mostly good for that time, right?
Yep.
But they've had their ups and downs.
Yep.
I mean, if you have an all-time Hall of Fame lock, all-time great case for the best ever quarterback, then you can avoid that stuff.
Exactly.
If not, show me who else has.
Exactly. I mean, that's what the NFL is built for. I got a texture that says, in sports, if you're not going for it, then why are you even there? I mean, most of the time, that's the case. Like, look, I mean, there are times to go for it, and there are times to not go for it. Like, the Predators this year at the trade deadline – You don't need to be going and buying a bunch of people. And they didn't do that. And, you know, you got Branson in there. But it's not like the Predators sold the farm to go try to get Taylor Hall and all these people to add to this team. So there's a time to go for it and a time not to. But to the texter's point, like, eventually you reach a point in your window where you just got to try to win now. And, yeah, you got to know a couple years down the road, 3-4 years down the road, maybe you're not going to be as good and you've got to go through a down cycle and try to build back up. But at the end of this conversation, if the Titans suck 5 years from now and they've got a Super Bowl to show for it, will anybody care? No. It would absolutely be worth it if you go win a Super Bowl.
Now, if they get close but don't win it and cycle down, there'll be a lot of people complaining. I'll still say, I promise you, at that moment, it was worth trying.
Yeah.
David Poyle, the moves were bad, but the impulse to go for it, I think, was exactly the right timing. And it really, the go for it started for him with a good move, in my mind, which was Weber for Subban.
Agreed.
And then the ensuing go-for-it moves were bad, but the idea of going for it in that window, I think, was absolutely dead on. I think it's what you do there. You just make better choices. John Robinson, last year, it's what you do. You make better choices than Beasley and Clowney.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Santa in Portland texting in. It's not fair to point out anything about Tannehill's play until the defense plays better than a pathetic level. Once the defense plays as good as the local high school, then we can talk about Ryan's play.
Well, but people talk about Ryan's play from his first year when, again, he didn't have big stats in the playoff games, so some people apparently didn't watch those games and didn't see him making big throws.
And the defense was good that year.
Yeah. That's my point. Like, yeah. He has played with this team when the defense has actually supported him, but then the defense was standing on the sideline when he made two huge throws to keep the ball late at New England, and the two touchdown pass at Baltimore, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and also, like, we've talked so much about last year in the defense and how that's got to get better. And we had a texter earlier point out, you know, if the defense is better last year, maybe the Titans make a deeper run in the playoffs. You know, I thought, given what the defense was last year in that Baltimore game, I mean, they gave you a shot. You were right there in the playoffs.
They did.
The offense didn't take advantage of it.
No, no doubt. No, the defense actually, if you going into that, someone told me the defense was going to do what it did, then I would have said Titans are absolutely winning this game.
Yep.
So, no, I mean, that last game for Tannehill sets it up that his next postseason game, there's a lot of pressure on him.
102.5 The Game, and the Nashville Predators will host a 615 Day celebration presented by Social Furniture at Fort Ice Center, Bellevue, June the 15th, benefiting Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. This all-day event will feature fun for the whole family while paying tribute to Nashville's annual 615 Day, an occasion that pairs Music City's area code with the date of June 15th. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com. When we come back, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair today. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rexroad. We throw out different scenarios, both in sports and in life. And then we have a lot of fun reacting to those scenarios. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair today. Joe Rexroad, I turn things over to you.
I'm pretty excited about these questions, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. That's good news.
So give me sports or non-sports?
Let's go non-sports.
Non-sports. Okay. Which movie sequel do you wish was made that was never made?
Okay.
Which movie sequel do you wish wasn't made that was made?
Oh, man.
Now, this is open-ended, so I got to give you guys a little bit of time. I can answer it first if you guys want to.
You
think
go right
about
ahead.
It. All right. So the one I wish was made, I got to go Dazed and Confused 2. Now this could be a disaster. Richard Linklater's not making any sequels. But first of all, just to let Ben Affleck continue the only acting role in which he was good, playing a dude in like his 14th year of high school. Matthew McConaughey is a mid 20s dude who looks like he's 43, hitting on high schoolers. You know, maybe following these kids along in college. Like, that movie was basically perfect. So, like, I want more of that movie. My non-sequel that I wish wasn't made, I mean, the temptation to say Caddyshack 2 because, like, it's just an abomination.
Yeah.
And obviously the original was great. But I'm going to go Godfather 3, you know, which to me, the first two are total perfection, and that should be the whole story. And Godfather 3 was such a big deal, and like there was some good stuff, but ultimately it just downgrades the entire thing. So I would wipe that from existence.
Elijah Campbell, do you have an answer?
I will go, and Robbie, this might be a little controversial for
oh,
you.
Oh, boy.
I want to say the latest run of Star Wars movies should not have been made.
Oh, I'm 100% with you.
I was not a big fan of a lot of those. I lost interest because I feel like that first one was just A New Hope redone.
It was.
And I'm sure they made a crap ton of money from it, which was the intention. But the quality of it wasn't up to my liking. I think we kind of oversaturated the Star Wars product a little bit.
Real quick, you think that these last three are worse than the three before them, the prequels?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I'm going to throw this out there.
I'm nostalgic for the prequels.
The Last Jedi, one of the worst movies ever made. It's awful.
I think that the first one of the last three was fantastic.
Yeah, because it was a New Hope remake. It was the same plot line.
Exactly. The exact same one. But Rogue One was really good. I think that's a standalone.
Rogue One was fantastic.
Great.
That's
movie.
A separate thing, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Anyway,
Keep going. All right.
And then this one, okay, I know The Dark Knight Rises was made after The Dark Knight, and of course you can't remake a Dark Knight or have a sequel to a Dark Knight movie with Heath Ledger as the Joker because, well, he's unavailable. But I would have loved to have seen or had a little more closure to the end of that movie with maybe another standalone. I'm a fan of ambiguous endings to movies, but that one I wanted a little more closure on. I understandably, we can't have that, but if we were in my world and I had things my way, we would have added an extra 2 hours to that movie. And
I like it.
In the form of a sequel.
I would say this. I would say in terms of movies that I did not want to see a sequel made, The Hangover. I thought The Hangover, the first movie, was pretty good. Two is okay. Three is awful. I mean, it's...
I don't think I've seen three. Two is fine.
I would not see three. It's not very good. So I'd say just leave The Hangover at one movie. It's fine there. It's funny. I love Bradley Cooper, so it's all good there. Leave that one alone. In terms of a movie that I would like to see a sequel made, that one's tough because, like, my favorite movie is Miracle, and you can't make a sequel to it because we've not beaten the Soviet Union in the play since then. Oh, I'd have to come. I'll come back to you
on
that answer.
All right. Okay. That's fine. All right, so sports. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of both Tennessee and Vanderbilt fans here. Now, you can do the Tennessee fan part, but this is the same question for both fan bases. Okay. I want to see how you answer it for both. You can have a baseball national championship this year and continued shots at it for the next decade. You're going to have a very elite program for the next decade. Or you lose this weekend, your baseball program goes backward from here, but – you are guaranteed one SEC East championship in the next decade in football. For each fan base, which are you choosing?
Well, this is easy for me. For Vanderbilt, give me the baseball. I mean, it just basically is you're marching forward. You're continuing the baseball dominance. You've got a chance to win every year. And, the football might rise up every now and then, have a good season, but they're not winning the SEC East. For Vanderbilt, I think you just keep this baseball train rolling and let Tim Corbin keep doing his thing.
But you're guaranteed for Vanderbilt to have that SEC East.
I know.
Switch the other. Okay.
I know.
Okay.
I'm still going that with baseball for Vanderbilt. Tennessee, give me the SEC East. I love Tony Vitello, friend of the show. And this has been fun. Give me the SEC East football.
So on the flip side, if I take the football option, where does that leave baseball? So for like Vandy.
It goes backwards. Your program starts going the wrong way.
Kind of leaning towards Robbie on that, but like it would be really cool to see Vanderbilt in one SEC championship game. However, so you're not guaranteeing the SEC championship, just an appearance in the game as the East winner. Because Vanderbilt's going to play Alabama and probably get beat 59-0 or something like that. So I think I would go, I'd mirror Robbie's here and see the Vols in an SEC championship game and then Vanderbilt continue doing what they do in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with both you guys. I think Vanderbilt has a lot of pride in this program, and it's important to Vanderbilt fans, and you want to see how long this can continue. As great as an SEC East title would be, I mean, I think Vanderbilt, if you could get to 6-7 wins yearly, I think you would be pretty happy. And for the Vols, as great as this is, and I think a lot of Vols fans would love to see this continue. I mean, any sort of football success you would have, I think you got to jump on it, right? I mean, it's It's been a long time.
By the way, the sequel, the movie, I've come
okay.
up with one.
Now what you got?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Love that movie. I need a sequel.
Okay.
I don't know what sequel would look like there, but I enjoy that movie very much.
I like a little bluegrass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
There you go.
All right, you can go to any musical artist tour. I don't think I've asked this before, but even if I have, whatever. We'll do it again.
Okay.
You can go to any musical artist tour at any venue at any point in history. What do you choose?
Ooh.
Again, since this is open-ended, I can go first if it helps you
guys. Go ahead.
All right, well, I would, like, I want to pick, the only Radiohead tour I haven't seen is OK Computer. Yeah, Creed. I got to see them live for free, and that was, I wanted to get paid for it. my wife went and saw them at Radio City Music Hall on the OK Computer tour in college, which, like, makes me really jealous. So I would almost pick that. But I'm going to go Led Zeppelin, 1971, touring for their fourth album, 10th of May, 1971, in Liverpool, England. That's the concert I choose.
Okay. I like that.
Just go down in a sea of Jimmy Page riffs.
I like it.
Oh, that's good.
Can my answer be something that, like, I would love to see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden. Okay. I would love to see it. Like, does that count as a tour? Because
yeah.
he's there like
I mean, he's,
every third day.
Yeah, he's done it many
yeah.
times, sure.
I know.
But you could pick a year, too, like, oh, touring for the Stranger album in 1978
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me some Billy Joel at MSG.
Okay.
That's on the bucket
list,
good. By the way.
Yeah, that's good.
I better get to work on that.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would go, if I was going on a specific tour, it'd be to see David Bowie doing Rise and Fall Ziggy Stardust anywhere.
Ooh.
Venue doesn't
Ooh.
Matter. But
like 74, maybe 75.
That's my favorite album of all time. Yeah, like in the middle of the 70s.
That would be awesome.
Anywhere.
That's a great call.
And then I would love to see Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock and see that performance live.
I've had many people tell me the best concert they've ever been to was the Dave Matthews Band at the Starwood Amphitheater that no longer exists here in Nashville. But that was the best, most fun they've ever had at a concert.
I'm not a huge Dave Matthews fan.
Yeah.
My wife is. She's gone. I mean, she's literally gone to like 20 plus, but she's taken me to many of them now. I will say, man, they are so good live. Like,
hey.
Just the drumming alone is insane. So, yes.
A lot of jamming out.
Yeah. All right. Last one for sports. Would you rather, this is three options, Nashville get a Major League Baseball team or an NBA team or neither, but be in the future rotation for Super Bowls, college football playoff games, and Final Fours. And, of course, there has been a women's Final Four. There should be more of those here as well. Which of those three would you choose for Nashville?
Elijah, would you like to go first and just get yours out of the way?
Oh, man. I want to go NBA team. That would be so much fun for me personally. But, like, I would die to go to a Final Four. That'd be so cool in Nashville. And then one Super Bowl here would be really cool, too. Yeah, that's a bucket list thing, is to be at a Final Four.
I thought Elijah was going straight NBA here, no questions
asked. But it's close. It's a coin flip. I win either way. But I really want a Final Four. That'd be sweet.
I think I'd go NBA. Look, a Super Bowl here would be great. A Final Four here would be great. But you're also talking about, like, once every what? 8 years, 10 years if you get in the rotation. NBA teams here. They're here every year. Give me the NBA.
Yeah, and you think about just all the great players and teams coming in. I'm tempted with either of those teams. I think it would be great. But I'm going selfishly with the last one. Get those games in here. I think it would be great events for Nashville. And also, it would be less work because there would not be a Major League Baseball / NBA team here to be covering on top of everything else. So there you go. Less work is my choice.
I mean, if we went MLB – you have a lot more to talk about in summertime, too.
That's true. And then you got those days at the ballpark. And, you know, I mean,
long days.
I need beauty tanning in the summer. You know?
Yes, that is for sure. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's somebody, Chris in Nashville, is saying that Anchorman 2 should have never been made.
Oh, man, that's a good call. That is a very bad sequel to a great movie. Oh, boy, what the heck did they do with that sequel?
I mean,
it was a good premise, too, like kind of like the CNN early 80s, cable news, but like just what in the world?
Doug on the text line says, I wish they had a sequel for Salt. Apparently that's a movie.
Pepper?
I don't know the movie.
I must have missed out on that one.
I missed that one. Huh. Okay.
Kyle from White House saying they should make a sequel for Step Brothers and one they shouldn't make, Wayne's World 2.
I never saw Wayne's World 2. I love Wayne's World.
I can't imagine Wayne's World 2 is very good.
I've heard people say it was actually pretty good, though.
Really?
People yeah. I don't necessarily trust, but people.
Oh, okay. Movie sequel, Heartbreak Ridge with Clint Eastwood, use his son for the sequel. This is coming from Danny.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Okay.
I like that.
There's a lot of sequels that shouldn't have been made, but it's interesting to think about the ones that could be made.
Chris in Nashville also saying Jimi Hendrix at Monterey Pop and Dave Matthews Band, Big Thumbs Down. Not a fan of Dave Matthews Band.
Like I said, I don't listen to them normally or whatever, but if you see them live and then you still are thumbs down, I don't know, man. I think they change minds when you see them live.
That is today's edition of The Choice Is Yours, a marvelous job done by our own Joe Rexroad. Well done. Way to go.
Thank you. And good job for you guys. Elijah, you're ready with those answers, man.
And I am.
You know, Porus got big shoes to fill.
I will just throw trash at the latest Star Wars trilogy all day long if I need to. When we come back, we'll get back into the Nashville Predators. Ask the question that Darren Donica chased throughout the year yesterday, which is an interesting one. Do you consider this season to be a success for the Predators? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.